Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on this September 11th, 2020. And before I push forward, you know, that date is a really significant one in our nation's history, right? You know, I still remember being in middle school. I believe I was in, what, sixth grade at the time, when two planes hit the World Trade Centers in New York City, the Twin Towers. And it was just, you know, just chaos throughout the day because, I was about, 13 at the time. And I remember sitting in class throughout that day. And, you know, so many students had been called to the office to head home. And you know, being that young, we really didn't know what was happening. You know, the teachers and the staff at my middle school, at O.W. Best Middle School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, they did a good job of keeping things, airtight, keeping the story amongst themselves and not letting us know anything. But, you know, it wasn't until I got called home. I'll never forget it. It was sixth hour of Miss Hettner's class, who was my sixth grade English teacher. And you know how you get a ringer over the PA. Alan Martin, please come to the front office. Alan Martin, please come to the front office. And my sister was also, called to the office. And, you know, this may have been eighth grade, now that I think about it. Oh, it was around there, one of those. But we were both called to the office to head home. And, you know, as I'm walking to the office, you know, gathering my things, because they told me that I was heading home, you know, I see my grandparents there, my grandmother and my late grandfather, and they're saying, all right, come on, you know, let's get you home. And me and my sister, my sister and I, we're just kind of like, whoa, what's going on? And we got in the car and we're driving back to my grandparents' house, and they're trying to explain it to us, saying, look, America has been attacked. Your parents wanted us to come pick you up because it's a bit chaotic right now. And we're saying, attacked? Attacked by who? We had all these questions. Attacked by who? Why would someone attack us? The World Trade Centers? What are those? Twin Towers? Didn't understand any of it until we got home. And I remember we were sitting in the family area where everybody gathers and the television was on. And we were watching the news coverage of it all. Seeing what had happened that morning. This day, now what, 20 years ago, September 11th, 2001. So what, 19 years ago? It's hard to believe, right? Oh boy. And, you know, even though I was so young, when you see those images of two planes hitting the Twin Towers and people jumping from buildings and tears and just death. I don't care what age you are. I mean, you have some kind of reaction to that. So we never forget this day. I had the opportunity 2 years ago to visit the 9/11 memorial. And, you know, actually this morning before I dropped off my dog to the dog groomers, you know, just thinking about this day, waking up, realizing that, oh, here we go, another September 11th anniversary. You know, I went back on my phone and looked at some of the photos and some of the videos that I had taken from my visit to the September 11th memorial 2 years ago. And, you know, looking at images of actual, you know, firefighter vehicles, fire trucks that were engulfed in flames that had been salvaged and put in the memorial, and just the steel melting at the front of that fire truck. You know, they have shoes and wallets and chains of people who perished, and you know that these things were found at the site, laying there in the rubble. There's a video that I took of a staircase. They call it the survivor staircase. You know, those who have visited the memorial know what I'm talking about. But there was a staircase located near the bottom of one of the Twin Towers. And that staircase is called the survivor staircase because it was a staircase that led you to the main lobby where you could exit and just run. And that staircase was kept intact. And there's an image of people just coming down that staircase trying to run to save their lives. And then the room that really got me, though, was the room in which you can sit down and you heard all of the phone calls that were made on the plane from people who knew that death was possibly coming. I wanted to leave one final message, one final goodbye to their loved ones. And a lot of that audio material was able to be salvaged, and you listen to the last moments of those people and trying to put myself in their shoes as to what they were thinking, the fear that must have crossed their bodies. Oh boy. It is a really emotional whirlwind. There's also a room in which you walk in and they have a photo of everybody that died. It's a big, 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 big room. And, you know, the families have done a great job in memorializing those individuals. And and have talked to those, you know, those who have put together the museum. And, you know, there's information about every single one of those people who perished. It's pretty incredible. But we should never forget this day. And as a nation, you know, with everything going on, especially here in 2020, the most trying year of my going on 30 years on October 7th. So much going on, so much hate. Racial injustice. We're in the midst of a pandemic. So many people who are losing their businesses. So many people who have lost loved ones due to the pandemic. We should look at this day, remember what happened on September 11th, and remember how we as a nation came together, regardless of you know, if you're Republican or Democrat or black, white. We came together. That was a moment of unity, because it didn't matter what the color of your skin looked like just for a moment, or what your political background looked like just for a moment. Because that day, we were attacked as Americans. And we locked arm in arm to try and help our fellow Americans, our fellow American, our neighbors, get through that. And we need more of that right now, especially this year. So I just want to share that. I shared every year when I do a show on September 11th because it's important and we should never forget. And we really need unity right now, folks. Okay, with that being said, we've got some great sports talk coming your way. Well, today's current sports, of course, I'm going to talk about last night's NFL season opener taking place as the Houston Texans fell to the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes picking up right where he left off that Super Bowl year for the Chiefs last season. The young man is just unreal on the gridiron. We'll recap that game. I'll talk about the moment, or I should say moments, before that game as both teams tried to send a message to the league. And I'll also talk Lions and Bears. That's right, Detroit Lions fans. You'll get a chance to see your Honolulu Blue in action on Sunday afternoon at Ford Field. We'll chat about that game. I'll also have Reflection Friday for you. And, as always, if you would like to be a part of the hour, pick up the phone, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, or you can tweet me at @AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, I want to start here, seeing as though the Michigan High School Athletic Association was seeking clarification on last week's executive order that required all athletes except swimmers to wear facial coverings. And that is a topic that we've been talking about throughout the week here on WKAR's Current Sports. And you heard my thoughts on it. You know, will football players and those who are playing soccer at the high school level who have been allowed to play now, will they have to wear a mask while competing? Because I'm sure that poses some challenges for these high school athletes, and it's not real comfortable, right? Especially for those who are asthmatic, like myself. So, we got clarification on Wednesday. In Executive Order 180, issued by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, facial coverings will only be required for athletes in football, volleyball, and soccer, sports where it is difficult to maintain 6 feet of social distance. So, yes, those who are playing high school football, volleyball, and soccer here in the state of Michigan will have to wear a mask while competing. Those who play golf, tennis, and cross country join swimmers in not being required to wear masks under the updated order. So Wednesday's order states athletes training for, practicing for, or competing in an organized sport must wear a facial covering when they can't consistently maintain 6 feet of social distance except for occasional and fleeting moments. So I'm just curious to see how this one really is going to play out when it comes to, you know, volleyball, football, and soccer. It's going to be very uncomfortable, and those athletes are going to have to be monitored very closely to make sure that they're okay out there. I just can't imagine. You know, I tried running when this thing first hit, and you know, I got clarification that, okay, you can be outside and you can exercise or go for a walk. I tried running with my mask on, and for someone who battles asthma like me, it just wasn't working out for me. I had to take that thing off and be cautious. So, yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. All right, Western Michigan University. WMU announced on Thursday that all athletic activities have been paused after 9 student-athletes tested positive for COVID-19. That's according to multiple reports. According to the Western Herald, the student newspaper in Kalamazoo, WMU has issued the surveillance testing for its student-athletes recommended by the NC2A. That is to test one quarter to one half of every roster every 2 weeks for football, volleyball, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's basketball, hockey, baseball, softball, and gymnastics. That testing, according to the Western Herald, began at the start of the fall semester, which was September 2nd. The 9 positive tests are across 4 different WMU teams. The Mid-American Conference, home to WMU, Central Michigan, and Eastern Michigan, canceled all fall sports in August, but teams are allowed to continue practicing. So there is some kind of apparent breakout that happened at Western Michigan University announcing this pause after 9 student athletes tested positive. So, yeah, that's just what you fear, right? That's what you don't want. Okay, and President Donald Trump took aim at Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer for the second time in less than a week, suggesting she is preventing the state's 2 Big Ten-affiliated schools from playing football this fall, which I don't know how that's the case, seeing as though the decision to not play came from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, and those who he works alongside, the presidents and chancellors of those schools within the Big Ten Conference. So, interesting. Trump's latest comments came Thursday evening during a campaign rally at MBS International Airport in Freeland, Michigan, where he said Michigan was lagging behind other states with Big Ten teams. Trump said, quote, "We want a governor that's going to let Michigan play Big Ten football this year. We've been seeing a lot of other schools want to open up the Big Ten at my suggestion." Yeah, that's what Trump said before name-dropping Republican U.S. Senate candidate John James. This thing has become so political. I just can't stand politics, folks. On Sunday, Trump tweeted that a Big Ten football season this fall was, quote, "looking really good," end quote, but intimated that governors of Michigan, Illinois, and Maryland were either unwilling or indifferent to provide political support. Sports Talk Radio host Dan Patrick, he reported something similar this week, saying a fall Big Ten season could be played without Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Illinois, Maryland, and Rutgers. How weird would that be? And I don't know who Dan Patrick's source is, but Dan Patrick has been wrong on a few different fronts when it comes to this conversation. So we'll see what happens, but this is certainly becoming a political topic, and Trump is playing his cards. So there you have that. All right, the Detroit Tigers split yesterday's doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals. Game 1 went to the Cardinals 12-2. Game 2 was a 6-3 dub in favor of the Tigers. And as of Thursday night, the Tigers are 2 games in back of the New York Yankees for the American League's 8th and final spot in the expanded 16-team postseason. The road trip continues in Chicago for a 3-game series with the White Sox. Rookie Casey Mize, he starts today, followed by Michael Fulmer on Saturday and Spencer Turnbull on Sunday. So again, Tigers in action, taking on the Chicago White Sox. First pitch tonight will be 8:10 p.m., tomorrow at 7:10 p.m., and then on Sunday at 2:10 p.m. All right, and as I mentioned, the start of the NFL season occurred officially last night as the Houston Texans took on the Kansas City Chiefs out in KC. And the Chiefs really just picked up right where they left off during last season's Super Bowl run as Patrick Mahomes, he is just a remarkable player. He threw for 211 yards and three touchdowns, while rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was amazing, from LSU. He rushed for 138 yards and a touchdown in his debut, which was a 34-20 win in favor of the Chiefs. Overall, Kansas City outgained Houston 369 yards to 360, so really, really close there. But most of the Texans' offense came in the fourth quarter with the game really out of reach. And don't forget, Detroit Lions fans, and I'm sure you won't. You probably got it marked on the calendar right now. You got an alarm set. You got your whole day planned around it. The Detroit Lions will open up the year Sunday against the Chicago Bears at Ford Field. Chicago swept Detroit for the second straight season, but didn't face Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford in 2019. This will be a 1 p.m. kickoff again at Ford Field. And right now, Bovada in Las Vegas has the Lions as the favorite. 3-point favorites to be exact, and the over-under has been set at 44 points. So, Lions-Bears, 1 p.m. Sunday. Exciting stuff. It's just great to see the NFL back, right? We'll see how long it lasts. All right, the Detroit Pistons will have to wait a little longer before seeing game action in the 2020-2021 season. Shams Charania of The Athletic reported that the NBA league office recently let its board of governors know that the start of next season will not begin before Santa Claus comes to town on Christmas Day. He added that the upcoming dates on the NBA calendar were up in the air. So it's looking as though next season for the NBA, and it's so, you know, wasn't yesterday such a historic moment, right? You know, it was the first time that we saw, you know, major professional sports like the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, and the NHL all in action on the same day. And heck, throw in golf as well. The PGA Tour took place. Throw in professional tennis. I believe even NASCAR had a race. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? You know, COVID has thrown sports schedules totally off the rocker. And, you know, when it comes to what was September 10th, I mean, I know that my remote got a great workout because I was flipping, you know, from the NBA to the NFL. I chimed in to see what Serena Williams was doing, and I watched a bit of Naomi Osaka. Oh, just a busy, busy day. It was great, I must say. So, with sports schedules really being everywhere right now, and the NBA season still taking place, we still have yet to finish, the rounds leading up to the NBA Finals. So, again, according to The Athletic, Shams Charania of The Athletic, the new NBA year will not begin until after Christmas. So, and, you know, when it comes to my beloved Detroit Pistons, right now the organization is focused and locked in on the NBA draft. They already know what position they are in when the draft will take place, as Detroit will have the 7th pick in the 2020 NBA draft. It has been 5 months since the Pistons last played on March 11th, since they have been relegated to individual voluntary workouts and limited drills with coaches. Detroit is now gearing up for the September 14th start of phase one of its offseason voluntary bubble. And yes, 5 months, folks. And 5 months on March 11th, I mean, that was also the same day that Rudy Gobert became the first NBA player to come out and announce that he had been infected with COVID-19. That's when stuff really hit the fan there. So just a wild year, folks. All right, and Serena Williams' quest for her 24th Grand Slam title has come to an end. During yesterday's 2020 Women's Singles U.S. Open Semis, Naomi Osaka defeated American tennis player Jennifer Brady, while Serena fell to Victoria Azarenka at Flushing Meadows. Azarenka defeated the 23-time Grand Slam champ in a 1-6, 6-3, 6-3 rally. Azarenka and Osaka now meet in the U.S. Open singles finals tomorrow. In the 2020 Grand Slam tournament thus far, Osaka has made waves by wearing masks bearing the names of victims of racial injustice to her matches. I love this. Thus far, Osaka has worn masks with the names of Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, Elijah McClain, George Floyd, and most recently, Philando Castile, which she donned during her Thursday match. I love that. Naomi Osaka standing up and using her platform to shine light on the racial injustices that we are seeing and have been seeing in our nation for a while. All right, and NBA and NHL playoff action. Yesterday in the lone NBA game, we saw the LA Lakers defeat the Houston Rockets by 10 points, 110 to 100. James Harden led Houston with 21 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists. Anthony Davis led the Lakers with 29 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. So LA leads that series now 3-1. One more game, and they book a ticket to the Western Conference Finals. All right, when it comes to today's slate, the LA Clippers can book a ticket to the Western Conference Finals. If they beat the Denver Nuggets, that will be a tip time of 6:30 p.m. on TNT. And the Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics series tied at 3 games apiece. That's your late slate game at 9 p.m. Win or go home. No two words better in sports than Game 7, right? Raptors-Celtics looking forward to that one at 9 p.m. on TNT as well. In the NHL playoffs yesterday in the West Finals, we saw the Dallas Stars beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights 3-2. Dallas leads that series 2-1. And tonight at 8 p.m., the Tampa Bay Lightning will take on the New York Islanders in the East Finals as Tampa Bay leads that series 2-0. We'll see if New York can finally get a game in that one. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to weigh in on anything I just brought up, anything in our headliners or anything on your sports noggin, what do you think about the start of the NFL season last night? How good was it just to see the NFL back on your television? That performance from Patrick Mahomes, but even more so than Mahomes, I mean, my goodness, the rookie running back was fantastic, right? As if the Chiefs didn't have or didn't need any more weapons, I should say. But looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushing for a buck 38, that was pretty amazing. Any thoughts on that? Or any thoughts? I'm sure you guys got thoughts on the Detroit Lions season opener against the Chicago Bears, right? What are the expectations for the Lions this year? Because in my opinion, if Matty Patty and the Lions don't make the playoffs this season, Patricia's job is on the line. That seat is warm. I'll just say that. I'll talk about the Lions and Bears and the start of the NFL year right after this first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Folks, the NFL is back. How about that? Feels good, I must say. I don't think it's going to last, but I'm not trying to rain on your parade. Let's just talk about the start of the NFL season last night, which showcased the Houston Texans taking a visit to Kansas City to take on the defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. A game that I was certainly looking forward to and one that I thought was going to be more competitive than it was. But the Chiefs just picking up right where they left off, led by Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this young man is just amazing, right? Isn't he? I mean, watching him do what he does is just special. You know that when you're watching Patrick Mahomes pull off a side throw on the run that hits a receiver right in stride between the numbers, or when you watch him dazzle with his feet, or when you watch him throw a patent no-look pass, you know that you're watching something special. You know that you're watching something and witnessing something that is unique and hasn't been seen before. So fun watching him. But I really thought I was going to watch a more competitive game last night, because Deshaun Watson and Watson and Mahomes, now the two richest brothers in the National Football League, pretty amazing stuff. You know, Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were teasing throughout the broadcast about just how rich those two dudes are. And there was a moment where Deshaun Watson was trying to run for a first down, and he goes over to the Kansas City Chiefs bench, and he sits down next to Patrick Mahomes. Really cool moment between those two. You know, it was a blowout, but, you know, I must say it was just good to see football back on television, right? Just good to see it back. And, you know, you had Andy Reid. You know, he was masked up, actually had a full visor on that kept getting fogged up, you know, had rain all over it and everything. But, you know, you can see that these players and coaches are making an effort to try and stay healthy. I just don't see how it's going to last, because these players aren't in a bubble. They are playing a full contact sport on the gridiron. So I'm just going to enjoy these games for as long as we can. But, you know, I got to get something off my chest, because as great as it was to see the NFL back last night, you know, it was a bit disturbing to watch that moment before the game, a moment that I had hoped, that many had hoped would go differently than it did. But at the end of the day, there are going to be people that don't want to see social justice, which in my view is just a simple conversation of right or wrong. People don't want to see their athletes, the athletes that they root for, putting that on display while watching the game that they love. People hate that. There are a lot of people that hate that. I won't generalize and say all people, but there are many people that hate that. And we saw that on full display last night. A moment that, and you look at what took place in the NBA, and I think with the NBA, the fact that there are no fans, thank goodness, there are no fans in the venue, you don't have a reaction. You don't open the door for a reaction like that of what you saw prior to the start of the Chiefs and Texans game. Because the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, they allowed a small percentage of fans to come in and enjoy the game in person. You had to mask up and you had to social distance if you did not belong to the same household, I'm assuming, because we did see some clusters where there was, like, you know, a group of people clustered together, not social distancing. But I'd like to assume that those individuals all live in the same household. So there was about like 17K in the house last night. And I must say that was a loud 17K. You know, Al Michaels let it be known throughout that broadcast that, no, we are not pumping in doctored game sound or crowd noise throughout the broadcast. We'll see that occur with a few games this weekend, I believe, including the Lions and Bears game. There will be no fans in attendance at Ford Field, but the Lions and Bears game will kind of be a test to see if fans, while watching at home, enjoy having a digital fan presence. So that will be interesting to see. There will be digital fans in the stands there. So we'll see how that works out. Much like we've seen with the NBA, I don't know if these are going to be fans who are like, you know, zoomed in or just like some generic footage of fans in the stands. I have no idea how that's going to work out. But these were actual fans. These were human beings, living and breathing human beings in the stands at Arrowhead Stadium. And I must say that, you know, the reaction that both of these teams got when they decided to come together, lock arms during the playing of the Black Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, I'm not surprised that they were booed. That's the NFL for you guys. That's really just that fan base. That's a fan base in which the majority of people who love the NFL and follow the NFL were chastising Colin Kaepernick for his decision to kneel during the national anthem. And it's so funny, you know, it's so funny how over time people wake up and are enlightened. Some people, I should say. Because, you know, the stance on Colin Kaepernick's decision to kneel during the national anthem has changed a bit. It just shows you how fickle people are, right? The tables have turned. There's a poll put out in an article by Yahoo Sports, quoting a poll from the Washington Post that reveals some striking changes on Americans' attitudes about players' rights to protest and speak out on social issues. A majority of Americans, again, a poll put on by the Washington Post, a majority of Americans, 56% to be exact, now believe it is appropriate for athletes to kneel during the national anthem as a form of protest. 56%. That's incredible, right? It was not over 50% back when Colin Kaepernick first decided to use his platform in that way. When he decided to protest in that way, he got chastised. The majority of people out there said, this is wrong. You are disrespecting the flag. You are disrespecting the country. But looking back at it and looking at what has taken place since, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, the unrest in our country, I think it's woken up a lot of people. It has awakened a lot of people. 42% disagree. An even larger majority believe that athletes have the right to express themselves on social and national issues. 62% believe that now. So things are changing, but you still got people out there to disagree. And fans booing the Chiefs and Texans as they are locking arms, showing solidarity and unity while the Black Anthem plays in the background. Chiefs fans, you should be disgusted of your, you know, of what you guys did yesterday. You should feel so much shame for what you displayed in the NFL opener in such a trying year of 2020. You could have led the way and applauded those young men down there, but you decided to take the other route. Chiefs fans are a disgrace today. That's all I got to say about that. And, you know, the Texans during the national anthem, you know, they decided to stay in the locker room or stay in the tunnel before. And, you know, they ran out after. And there's so much reaction on social media to that moment as well. So much. You know, Benjamin Watson tweeted out, "Don't kneel, don't lock arms, don't love each other, don't empathize with your brother, don't care about your country, don't speak up for the vulnerable, don't seek justice or righteousness, just play. Sad." Jeff Allen, Let's boo a moment of unity. It's never been about the anthem. So true there. So true. We got a long way to go. Long way to go. Booing a moment of unity is just... You got to be a sick individual to boo something like that. You got your own personal problems. I can't help you. You need some therapy. That's all I got to say. But again, it was just great to see the NFL back. And you know, I'm curious to see what plays out throughout the rest of the weekend. I'm gearing up for Sunday Night Football. My Dallas Cowboys taking on the Rams of Los Angeles. That beautiful. I must say, I love Jerry World. I've been there when I covered the Michigan State and Alabama college football playoff game down in Texas. Beautiful. It looks like a spaceship. Wow. I mean, those two stadiums could go head up, right? I think, you know, what we see out in L.A., With the Rams' new stadium in Inglewood, California, that thing is insane. Wow. I mean, and what, you know, should have been a normal year, I mean, that opener was going to be raucous. Crowd going nuts in a plush new stadium. But unfortunately, we're going to see a lot of empty stands that night. But I'm gearing up for it. My Cowboys open year against L.A. You know, also don't want to forget about the new stadium and the new team, the Las Vegas Raiders. That stadium looks crazy as well. But when we come back after this final break, I want to give you guys thoughts on the Lions and the Bears as we head into the first Sunday of the NFL season. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It will be Bears at Lions Sunday at 1 p.m. Lions fans, you always start the year like this, right? Well, every fan base does. You have so much hope. Everybody's record, oh and oh, hope through the roof. We can do this. We can finally make the playoffs. And your journey begins on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. And, you know, looking at this game, you know, right now the Lions are actually favored in that game against the Bears. You know, I think that's just a true testament to just how bad the Chicago Bears are. You know, the Bears are just not a good team, but, you know, man, they still beat the Lions on the regular. You know, Chicago swept Detroit for the second straight season last year. But they didn't face Matthew Stafford, who was hurt. You know, Matthew Stafford had been banged up these last two seasons, playing with a broken back, literally. So I think that's, you know, with Matthew Stafford returning, that's why the Lions really have, you know, that three-point line right now. They are three-point favorites. The Lions are three-point favorites. But when you talk about 3 points, it's really a toss-up, right? That's a pick 'em game in the eyes of many, including myself. And it all depends on how well that Detroit Lions offense plays. And if that secondary is better. And the Bears have some question marks, you know, Mitchell Trubisky or Nick Foles. You know, that's the biggest question for head coach Matt Nagy, who is facing a do-or-die 2020 campaign after major struggles last season. But right now, you know, Mitch Trubisky, he is going to get the first shot. A ton of pressure on his shoulders Chicago finished last season ranked 29th in total offense while putting up the 8th fewest passing yards in the league. Yeah, that's not good, folks. And if you are a defensive player on that Detroit Lions roster, you got to be foaming at the mouth looking at those statistics from last season. Yeah. So that's got to change against the Lions defense that surprisingly finished second to last in yards allowed. So, yeah, toss up, man. Toss up. Matthew Stafford returns to action after missing, you know, the last half of last season due to injury. And I am going to go with the Lions to pull this one out. I think that they start off the year with a dub. I just because I think the Bears are just that bad. They're not a great football team. Not a great football team. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the Lions organization as well. When we talk about Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, you know, this is a season that I think a lot of Lions fans are giving to those two as being, okay, I'm going to give you one last chance. You know, it's just like you're in a really bad relationship. You know, things have not gone great in the last few years, and they messed up and broken your heart, but you're just like, all right, I love you so much. I still got a little hope left in the tank, but this is your last chance, girl. That's it. That's how a lot of Lions fans feel in describing their relationship with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. You know, this is supposed to be, what, New England 2.0? That hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. But you got to make the playoffs at least this year. You have to make the playoffs this year. If not, Lions fans are going to completely turn on Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. Period. And AP, Adrian Peterson, he is expected to be in Detroit's backfield just, what, 4 days after his first practice with the team. You know, four-time All-Pro running back, former NFL MVP. He was cut by Washington after rushing for 898 last season. And he's reuniting. Reunited, and it feels so good. You see why I didn't become a top-selling R&B artist, right? But AP is reuniting with offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel, whom he played for in Minnesota a decade ago. So Peterson, 35 years old. He's 1,053 yards behind Lions great Barry Sanders for fourth on the NFL career rushing list. And it's really unclear what his role will be. I think he's going to be, you know, that short yardage guy, kind of like what Marshawn Lynch was for the Seattle Seahawks, you know, in the later stages of his career now, right? You know, just got him for those short yardage situations, just pounding in. He will be sharing time with running backs Kerryon Johnson, rookie DeAndre Swift. Please stay healthy, DeAndre, and also Ty Johnson. So the Bears, though, 4-0 against the Lions under Matt Nagy. Huh. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I think the Lions win this game. But I want you guys to enjoy that game and enjoy the NFL weekend. I know I will. You know, and there's so many storylines. I mean, Cam Newton taking center stage out in New England, taking over for Tom Brady in the New England Patriots. Tom Brady now playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers will be playing on Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. game against the New Orleans Saints. That's going to be a big game. That's going to be the game I'll be focused on Sunday afternoon for sure. And everything in Washington as well. You know, the tumultuous offseason for the Washington football team. A lot of different storylines out there, folks. It's great to have the NFL back, and good luck to your fantasy football teams out there. For those who are in leagues that still decided to proceed despite a lot of question marks out there. I know I'm in three leagues. We'll see if we can finish this thing. But enjoy it, folks. I want you guys to have a great weekend. Be smart, be safe, and as always, please, be easy, people.